Christ, and I'm really glad you guys are all here together and we're able to worship our God. Let's go ahead and start with prayer.
Come on.
Our Father in heaven, God, I just want to come to you right now. God, I just want to talk to you. I just want to be near you, God. God, I'm so grateful that we just have this family here, that we, God, can come together and just be a family that just wants to worship you, that just wants to know you, that just wants to love you, that just wants to know the love you have for us.
Yeah.
God, I just pray that your Spirit can speak through me this morning and it can bring us all closer to you.
Yeah.
I love you and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, last week there was Valentine's Day on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I hope you had a great Valentine's Day and felt love from the loved ones in your life. The YoCamp Teen Women on Wednesday night, they actually got together and made these different book cards and were able to bookmarks and were able to get together and make those and focus on just God's love for them and use different scriptures and use some artsy craftsy skills, and it was very encouraging, I heard. So that's great. The men got together at the props house. We were able to also do something that was encouraging to the men. We played ping pong. It was fun. It was a good time. I think Connor was the champ that night. It was a good time, and we also were able to make some cards to hopefully encourage just different sisters that we know. Today, though, we're going to be continuing our series on Jesus the King, and it's a book by Timothy Keller, and this book helps us understand who Jesus is and also why he came to earth. The chapter that we're focusing on today is called The Trap. This chapter focuses on the trap money can have on our spirituality.
Come on.
The title of my sermon today is Love God, Not Money.
Amen.
Sometimes my sermons can sound like caveman talk. Love God, not money. But it's just simple. I'm simple. I want it to be simple for me to understand and for everyone to be able to understand God.
Come on.
Our theme passage today is in Mark 10. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn with me to Mark chapter 10. We're going to focus on a story in Mark 10, starting in verse 17, that's about the rich young ruler.
Let's go, Peter.
Mark 10, verses 17 through 23. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I've kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." So the rich man, he comes to Jesus and he questions him. And Jesus ultimately tells him, "Go sell everything you have, give to the poor." But the rich man, he wrestles with it.
Yeah.
He goes away sad. He doesn't do it.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it. Jesus responds to that, "It's so hard." He says, "It's so hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God."
Yeah.
This story teaches us, it talks about exactly what Jesus said. It's so hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. My first point today is, don't be blinded by money.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on, Peter.
You may say, "Not a problem. I can't be blinded by money because I don't have any." Sometimes we can feel stressed, right, about the things we have to pay for, and that stress can make us feel like we aren't rich. Other times, I do this, I start thinking, well, you know, the rich, oh, that's the 1%, that's the really rich, you know, that's the rich people, and I compare myself to them. And I start thinking, I'm not really that rich. But when we think about all the people in the world, when we think about all the things that we don't even consider, we just expect each day, clean water, warm home, clothes, shelter, food.
Come on.
When we think about everyone in the world, we realize we are so rich.
Yeah,
it's true.
We don't pray, God, give me my daily bread.
Right.
When have you ever prayed that? God, give me something to eat today. We look around at our house instead. We complain. We say, I got nothing good to eat around here. I've said that. We think, we complain, and then what do? We go out, we get a cheeseburger. We go out, we get an ice cream blizzard. What about when we're cold, right? It's winter. When we're cold, we just go inside our warm homes. We grab another jacket. We grab blankets. What about when it's really hot in the summertime? What do? We just go into our climatized houses. We go into the air conditioning.
Yeah.
Or sometimes we go swimming. Or sometimes we go to the movie theater and we sit in a nice recliner chair and we eat popcorn and snacks and we just relax, right? We cool off. We don't have to worry like, oh man, it's just going to be hot all night because I got nothing to keep me warm. I got nothing to keep me cool.
Come on.
My point is we're rich.
Yeah.
Let's look at the end of this story. Mark 10, verses 24 through 31. The disciples were amazed at Jesus' words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." So Jesus says here, it's so hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's so hard because we actually think our riches are worth something. Like the rich man in the story wrestling. We don't know if we personally can give them up. We can get so blinded in our thinking at times. Jesus says here, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. In America, it can seem at times like it's really easy to become a Christian. Oh, no one's going to persecute you. No, people are going to be thinking, oh man, he's getting his life on track. He's getting good morals. Like, that's great. That's great that he's doing it. We can make it seem like it's so easy in America where we're wealthy to become a Christian, to be able to inherit eternal life. Sometimes the things we think our whole life is actually not the truth, is not actually what Jesus says about it.
Right.
Jesus says it's so hard. It's so hard to get it because we're so rich. We're so comfortable.
Come on.
He goes on to say, it's impossible. It's impossible for the rich to get into heaven. But then he gives hope. It's impossible with man. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
I love that. You know, he's pointing out, you know, because they're hearing his words and they're like, what? Who can be saved? What's going to happen? What about us? We give up everything to follow you, Jesus. And he gives them hope. He says, you know what? With God, it is possible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It is possible because God looks and he loves us so much. and he opens people's hearts. He gives us that chance.
Come on.
Even with that wealth, God can do that. God can do anything. Yeah. It's possible. Peter says, you know, we've left everything to follow you. And what's he respond to him? Those who choose to give up, you know, the things of this world, those who choose to lose their life for me, they'll inherit eternal life.
Amen.
But how does money blind us? One is false security.
Yeah.
Money can give us this false sense of security. Think about money that you have saved up. Oh, something happened to the car. Well, I got money for that, though. I got stuff set aside. I'm secure. I'm okay. What about retirement? Oh, yeah, I got this pension. I'm saved up. So I'm ready to go. You know, when I come to that age or it's that time, I'm good to go. I'm set. Over time, we can start feeling secure in what we have rather than feeling secure in God.
Come on.
Another thing that can blind us is not feeling needy. How many times has Christmas rolled around and you've asked someone, hey, what do you want for Christmas? And then you hear, oh, you know, I don't really need anything. I've got everything I need. A jet ski would be nice, but I've got everything. We can look at life and say, oh, I'm covered for my basic necessities. I have everything. I don't need to rely on God for my food. I got a fridge full of it. I got a pantry full of food. I got all my snacks. I'm set. I don't need to rely on God for my shelter. I have a home. I have a house. I don't need to worry about that. Slowly we start realizing there's no reliance on God, and we start feeling like, oh, I don't need anything. Do I really need God? I'm set. We can get blinded.
Come on.
Another thing is money can affect our love of comfort. Maybe you say, you know, I don't really love money. I don't love money. I don't try to make more and more of it. But do you love what money gives you in your life?
Right.
That comfort, that assurance. Maybe you love that. I fall into that trap.
Yeah.
I can want that safe, easy life.
Yeah.
We can end up being in love with comfort. And then our fire for God can just dwindle.
Yeah.
Our love for God, our desire, because we can want to make sure we're protected, we're covered, and we want to keep it that way.
Come on.
Money can blind us, but it doesn't have to.
Right.
Jesus gave that hope. With all things God, with God, it's possible. All things are possible with God. When I look in the Bible, I can desire this safe life. I can desire this comfortable life. But when I read the scriptures, I see the people who followed God, they were persecuted.
Right.
I see the people who followed God gave up their wealth. They gave it to the poor. They tried to help other people. They didn't just hoard it and make sure they're set, and then the people after them and their family are good to go and set. They were looking to just help the needs around them.
Yeah.
They were being servants. We got to be watching for ourselves. We have to self-reflect. Is money blinding me in some way? There's other ways besides just these three. There's lots of ways it could affect us. My second point is be zealous for God.
Come on.
Instead of being blinded by money, let's be zealous for God. If you're zealous for God, you want Him so bad. You just desire God. To be zealous, you desire something so much. You want it more than anything. It's everything to you. That's how I want us all to be with God. Turn to Luke 19.
Come on, Peter.
Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. So we read the rich young ruler in Mark 10. Now we're going to Luke 19. But the story of the rich young ruler is also in Luke. It's actually in chapter 18. So this story in Luke's timeline has just happened of that rich young ruler. And God's had, you know, Jesus has had this interaction. And then we get to see another rich man in Luke 19, Zacchaeus, and watch Jesus' interaction with him. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, But being a short man, he could not, because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down and at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner?" But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay them back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." Zacchaeus, he was a wealthy man, it says in verse 2. And we see him jump out of this tree. And he looks at Jesus and he says, "Jesus, half my money, it can go to the poor. And the other half, if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay him back four times." He's saying, I don't care about money anymore. I just want Jesus. Jesus just invited me. Jesus wants to dine with me.
Come on.
Jesus sees that he gets it. Here's another story of a wealthy man, but what happened? What happened that day? Salvation. The impossible just happened.
Yeah.
Jesus said, it's impossible. You know, he said, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. It's so hard. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. The impossible just happened to Zacchaeus.
Yeah. Amen.
Jesus said it. Today, salvation has come to this house. Go ahead and turn to Matthew 13, verse 44. There's a parable that speaks to the life of these two men, these two stories. We looked at the rich young ruler, and now in Matthew 13, verse 44, Jesus told a parable that connects exactly to the rich young ruler's life and to Zacchaeus' life. What is the kingdom of heaven like? Matthew 13, verse 44. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then, in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field." The kingdom of heaven isn't like a rich young ruler who is wrestling with, "I've got my wealth." But Jesus is saying, "Give it up. Give it to the poor. Come follow me." We saw the rich young ruler. Do I want my riches or do I want Jesus? He was wrestling with it. I couldn't decide.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. How do you think that looks to God? Really? You know, what did God think? Really? Would you rather have the riches, just riches on this earth? But you could have me. You could have a relationship with me.
Yeah.
You could have me for eternity. I love you more than anyone. Won't you give that up for me? What? You won't? That's crazy. I wonder how that looks to God. What? You aren't on fire for me? I'm not the desire of your heart? I'm not everything to you? Oh, that just makes me sick. That's so lukewarm. I just want to spit you out. I wonder what God thinks about that.
Come on.
How does the kingdom of God look? The kingdom of God looks like Zacchaeus.
Yep.
Who says, "I don't want my stuff. I just want Jesus.
Yeah.
He's everything to me." The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When the man finds it, we see that he doesn't say, "Oh, let me think about this. Should I go sell everything and buy this field? Let me think." He didn't think about it. It says with joy.
Yeah.
He's just so joyful. He's like, "I could have that. Oh, here, take everything. I don't need that. I could have God. Let's go right now. I want this."
Yeah.
He saw how great the kingdom of God is. He saw how great that treasure is. It's so beautiful when someone gets it.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about Zacchaeus, do you imagine him getting down out of that tree when Jesus called him and saying, well, Jesus said, give my money to the poor. I suppose I could give some money to the poor. I mean, they do need some help, I suppose. Oh, you know, I also, I've cheated some people. I guess I'll pay them back too, you know, that'd be good. Maybe some interest. No, we don't see Zacchaeus like that. I see like this little Kevin Hart guy jumping out of the tree and being like, here's my money, take it, take all of it. I could have God, I don't care about that stuff. I love God, I don't love money. When you get how great the kingdom of God is, you're on fire.
Come on.
Are you on fire for God right now? As we wrap up today, we're reading through this book, Jesus the King. This book by Timothy Keller has been great for my relationship with God.
Yeah.
The first half, it's going through Mark, and it helps you know who Jesus is. The second half tells you why he came. If you're wrestling today with giving things up in your life, just giving everything up and following God, remember Jesus. You know, when Jesus came to this earth, where did he come from? He came from heaven. He came from being at the right hand of God. And he didn't cling to the riches he had in heaven. It says in Philippians 2 that, you know, he gave that up. He didn't grasp onto it. He said, no, I'll come down. You know, he gave up his glory. Right? We saw him transfigured last week when we read that glorious form. And instead, what did he take on? A human body. And when he came in this human body, he didn't just come and just be a regular person. No, he did the most lowly person possible. He was a servant. And then he didn't just serve everyone. He didn't stop there at being a servant. He served to the point where he died on a cross for all of us. Why did he do that? Jesus gave so much that we could be with him forever. Amen. Because he wanted us to have that treasure. He wanted us to be with God forever.
Yeah.
I love that. God loves you so much. So as we wrap up today, follow Jesus. Make a choice to give up everything and have treasure with God. Amen.
Amen.